Dropout Podcasts.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Tales from the Closets. How was your week? I hope it was good. This isn't really a conversation. I'm Allie. I'm your host. We have a really great episode today. I'm joined by three people I just can't wait to talk to. Let's go around and introduce ourselves.
Hi, I'm Paul Robolino. Some of you might know me from being a producer on this show.
Yeah.
Or from when I appeared on the last episode of this show. But I'm so happy to be back.
Yes.
And I identify as he, him.
Cool.
Gay man.
Gay?
Yeah.
The G in the LGBTQIA plus?
The second letter.
The G, yeah.
Cool.
LGBTQ. Yeah. So thank you. Thank you for having me.
I'm Roberta Calindres. I'm an actor. I go by she, her.
Cool.
Yeah.
How do you identify sexually?
Oh, I'd say the L portion or the Q portion.
Cool.
Yeah.
Fun.
Yeah.
I'm Allie. I go by they, them. You've heard me talk on almost every episode, so I think that's already out there. And I identify as a non-binary person who dates women who seem like they were annoying as children. That is my only
type. That's a type, though.
Women with so much energy that you're like, you must have been a handful as a child, and I'm so attracted to that. Great, next up.
Hi, where's my cameras? I'm Alia Shawkat. Yeah, I'm Alia Shawkat. forgot everything else. She, call me she, her, it. And then, bisexual, queer.
Cool.
Relate.
Nice. Bi rep. We talk a lot about bi rep on this show. Not enough rep. Of it.
Mm. Yeah. Or maybe too much. No, I'm just kidding.
Make up your mind. True nightmare response. Actually, I was at a restaurant and I felt like so there's these two like women with like giant wedding rings on eating next to me, and they were having a conversation about like transness. And it felt like it was the kind of restaurant where our tables were so close together, it was almost as though the four of us were eating dinner together, you know. And they were having this conversation about like, where did all these trans people come from in the last 2 years? It feels like it's such a recent thing. And then one of them was like, I read an article where over 90% of trans people who get a surgery or take hormones regret it, and they were just homosexuals. And I was
Jesus.
Like, I was just sitting there like, oh my god, do I say something? But it just felt like I was getting to hear, I was
the
like
inside.
A spy. Yeah, I was like getting to hear them like unfiltered.
I want to know what the article was.
It had to be Breitbart.
I know what article.
I read this article I wrote.
She's like, I wrote it.
It's like handwritten. Yeah. She's like,
90%
gnawing on her napkin. 110%.
Did you know that 90% of the people
wraps it up.
I know Newsweek did a feature on like trans youth, some of whom said like they realized that they were incorrect, but it was certainly not 90%.
It's not 90%. It's also those cases get so much like media. I know there's this one like pastor or something, and he claims that he transitioned to a woman for like 30 years and then realized it was a mistake, and now he like writes, he's written like 18 books about it, and everyone like is eating those up, and you're like, that's one case. And also
30 years.
Yeah, 30 years.
I'm like, that's how long I've been alive.
Yeah.
That's how long it took
you're
me
like,
to
that's
realize.
Enough.
Yeah, exactly. Did something bad happen
to you?
But
it's such a conflation of gender and sexuality. Mm-hmm. It's like,
you were
just gay? It's like, no, that half of it, it's like, who I want to date is the sexuality part, but who I want to be.
It's completely separate. Yeah.
It's like, you can be trans and gay. You can be trans and straight. Wake up.
I really commend you, though, for like your, I guess, willpower and like not saying or like going off on
I
those
mean
people.
Well, that was like the I was like, do I say something
or just
I
would, pretend to be their waiter and like excuse me
excuse
get
me
you the dessert table. Menu
your bill just tripled. You dropped this, it was a wrong fact, let me let you know. Great. Okay, well, usually how we start off this show is me ranting about strangers in public. No, I'm just kidding. We kind of tell our like coming out stories, or like, or maybe just a moment where you started to feel like, oh, like it's different for me, or like an inkling of that. Like, I was remembering that I went bra shopping with my mom when I was like 12, and I remember thinking like, she's into me.
About
or like
who?
It just felt so inappropriate.
Your
my
mom?
My about my mom, because it was as though I was bra shopping with my dad. Like, if that makes sense, because I was like, I'm gay. Women are into each other. It's weird that my mom is taking me bra shopping.
Whoa,
I can see that.
Anyway,
yeah, it's like the Oedipal.
Yes.
Different.
Yeah. So I think that was the first time when I was like, oh,
Electra.
Or like going to like you know, fucking.
Sorry,
no, Electra. Electra is the
trying to get off the mic.
What's that?
The other side of the Oedipal is, or the other side of Oedipus is Electra.
Oh, Electra.
Oh,
Electra
we got a real play not in that.
Child mother.
Yes.
Or wait, no.
Yes. Well, it's child
father.
Father.
Girl.
Yes.
Oh, father.
Girl,
father.
Oh, yeah. And you want to kill your mother, and that's Electra.
Electra.
Wow, Carmen Electra.
Yes. That's what I thought of immediately going like this.
Hey,
what are you doing?
Carmen. Fuck you, Mom.
She should be on this podcast.
I know. Yeah. Where's she at?
Or like when you go to like a locker room or whatever, and you're like, it's all the women getting. I'm here with all the women getting undressed.
And you're like, yeah.
Yeah, and you're like, whoa.
That was horrible.
Am I living in the Sims?
I kind of remember that in a kind of in a more recent way, like being at the gym and not being like a creep or anything. Just like being at the gym and then seeing a girl that I think is cute, and I was like, oh, we're both just changing next to each other.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, me not used to think of it, like, I didn't think of it that way before. I was just like, yeah, it's just a locker room. And then now I'm like,
yeah,
I'm not gonna look again, but yeah, I can.
But I'm gonna position myself towards the mirror in such a way. Yeah. I mean, like, that's always tricky. Right. Like, being at a gym or something in the locker room is always kind of scary, because I always assume someone thinks that I'm checking them out or something.
Yes,
you know, or that, like, if you know, if someone's straight, I'm like so afraid of creeping them out.
Yeah,
I
totally.
Always have been like that.
Yeah,
gyms are so creepy though, because then if you look at a guy, I find outside of the gym, in the world, the jungle of the gym, for like any like two longer than 2 seconds, they're like, are you trying to say something? Like, they're like thinking it's something. I'm like, no, you're like standing in front of, I don't know, I'm sweating and breathing. Like, I don't want to look at you.
Those kind of people who like repeat eye contact means like it's on.
It's aggressive.
Yeah. And I'm like, no, I don't want it.
Good God.
Yeah. I feel like
they're running.
That is for, I don't know, maybe it's a gay male thing. I'm not sure. But I feel like eye contact is such a way of communication. Like,
it is. Yeah.
A way, like, even in the gym or in the locker room, where it's like you glance over and then you look away. But then like they glance at you, and then you're like, you glance at them.
Oh,
but,
yeah.
Like, they glance at you, and then you're like, okay, there's definitely something there.
Well, but there's also power in looking away first.
Yeah.
You know, you're like
breaking the gaze.
And then, yeah.
Break that,
like,
gaze.
Or sometimes like you're aware that they're trying to do that with you, and you just want to be like, no, I'm not.
Yeah.
I'm not feeling it.
That's more what
you gotta go with your eyeballs. You gotta go,
yeah, like, no.
It's very rare for me to make eye contact with someone I think is attractive. I've been told I'm truly the worst flirt in the world. Mm. Everyone's like, I thought you just wanted to be best friends until we were literally having sex.
And then even
friends.
After.
And then even after, I was like, great one, sport.
Yeah.
Good job. Okay, so coming out stories. anyone got a juice? Got a juicy one?
Or just a general tale from our closet?
Yes, a general tale from your particular closet. Or one of your closets. I've been in multiple closets.
Mm. I mean, it's a lifelong...
Closets.
Closet. Closet after closet. No, I did get my first white hair after I slept with a woman for the first time.
So
really?
Yeah, I like...
And now each white hair is for each woman you've slept with.
Represents a different one.
I'm not going
to
speak to that.
For those of you who don't, there are a number of white hairs over here. Let's just say.
I'm not speaking to
that. Each one whiter than the next.
Truly. And more like... The
as
white hairs have nothing to do with the rest of my hair. As we talk.
Wait, do you think it was from the stress, or what do you?
Well, yeah, like I was terrified of like my parents finding out I was gay, or my.
I mean,
you know,
like
my
Texas, right?
Yeah,
yeah.
But I'm also like Latin, you know, and Catholic and whatever, and so like, yeah, I was just terrified of it, and I was just so gay always. But I wasn't even like thinking about like I'm gay, you know. I just was like, no, I'm not. I like dudes. you know, whatever. And, yeah, totally. And then I slept with this girl, and like the next day I went to the restroom and I was like, yeah. And then I looked and there was like a one white hair that was like long. And it wasn't there before.
I was like,
whoa.
Yeah, and then I started getting them. And then I went home one weekend for college or from college to my parents' house, and my mom was like, oh, you have secrets. And I was like, what? And she was like, I started getting white hairs when I started having secrets. And I was like,
oh, my God.
That's what she said?
Yeah, dude. My mom is.
Yo.
When I started having secrets.
Yeah.
Were you like, mom, what are your secrets?
Yeah, but my mom's secrets are way worse than mine. She had like two streaks. I just have the one.
Wow. Like,
right there. Yeah.
So wait, after that first experience with that woman, you said you were feeling like pretty like awesome about it. You weren't like, for me, like, I know my experience, I was like, so ashamed of what I had done.
Oh,
no,
really?
I was like, I felt like good. I felt like, oh, that's what I was born to do with like women. But I was also like, I'm not going to tell anyone. And I did actually, she and I dated for like 3 years and the whole time I was like, no, we're friends, you know, like just really weird about
it. Is this a high school? Mm-hmm. In high school?
College.
Okay, cool.
Unfortunately, yeah.
No, same. I didn't come out until after college. Yeah. Yeah, damn.
But it was also a situation where I was just like, I realized in that moment that my whole life I had been thinking of myself like, not even consciously, but like when I would tell people about it, which was like very few people, I would say, you know, talk about this girl. And like, it was the first time I started realizing that my whole life until that moment, I'd always thought of myself as a guy.
Oh, yeah, totally.
And like, if I was retelling a story of something that had happened, it was like me as a guy and whoever else was in the story. And then after that, I started seeing myself as a girl.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, guess, you know, it was just me like thinking like the only way that I could see women like this was if I was a guy.
I had the exact same experience because it's just like, especially with like religion and stuff, it was just so off the table to be gay. And I felt like I didn't know any gay women at all.
Yeah, no.
They were all straight. So I was like, the only person they would want to be with is a guy. And I would like picture myself as like the perfect guy for them. Like depending on which girl, I was like, oh, and then I would play guitar, or, like fucking whatever.
Fix your car.
I fucking fix her car, and then I'd say, you look great today. No, but yeah, same thing.
Yep,
that's so wild. Yep. And then, when did you come out to your parents ever, or are you still?
I did years later. My dad actually had like gasped me. I was just terrified of him. My mom made a really big deal my whole life of being like, there's this artist, Juan Gabriel, that she really loved. Everyone loves Juan Gabriel. But she was just like, you know what I love about, he was clearly gay. Like he was a very gay man while he was living. And she was like, you know what I love about him is that he's clearly gay, but he never talks about it because he knows it would hurt. It would break his mom's heart.
Oh,
I was always like, God damn it.
No, no.
Yeah. I love my mom. I love my mom.
No, totally. But that's boundaries. The conflict. Yeah. Same with me. I'm like, I love my mom too, but God, you fucked up with raising me.
I mean, now we talk about it. But
like, no, totally. I mean, she did the best she could. But I'm like, it was like my brother and I were both very clearly gay. And she was just like, you know what we should do? We should go to the nearest church that doesn't allow dancing.
Wait, do any churches allow dancing?
No, this, like, a specific denomination called Nazarene, you're not allowed to dance.
Nazarenes.
Oh, I saw a church.
The basis of Footloose? Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's like exactly Footloose. Jeez. And then I
don't lift
left.
Out there.
No, just kidding. I mean, Baptist is kind of like that. I feel like Baptists don't explicitly say don't dance. Oh
yeah, it's all
like
dancing.
All you do is dance.
No, not the white Baptist churches.
Oh yeah, okay, cool.
It's like a bunch of old ladies singing in vibrato.
That's because they can't dance.
They don't.
Oh yeah. All right. Any other tales from the closet?
Well, what you just said reminds me of, so like when I came out to my parents, I was terrified, but they were so wonderful about it, immediately accepting, immediately embraced me and were awesome. But I do have like one memory of being younger in the mall with my family and my mom, I guess she saw two women holding hands or something, and she made a remark indicating her disapproval of that. I don't even remember what it was, but I remember that my entire life.
Yeah,
and so
totally.
That's all I had to go off of.
Yeah,
where it was just like, clearly it's not okay, it's immoral, it's not going to be accepted, it's going to be looked down upon. because that's the only clue I had.
Yes. You're like in a vacuum at that point. Yeah. Like we were raised in such a like hetero world that any little thing, and like it's definitely not fair to our parents because it's like,
of course,
it's all not just them. Had to work on was like that one fucking offhanded comment, and they're like, I said a lot of things growing up.
Yeah. Right.
But you're like, I had no media. I had no anything like telling me stories about gay people. I had
in any normal setting. It's always like really dangerous. My dad used to, my dad's like Middle Eastern too. And I found out later that when he grew up, that if someone was gay or caught, they would like torture them.
Whoa.
You know, or like kill them sometimes, like in the Middle East. Yeah. So, you know, when I heard that, I was just like, Jesus Christ, like it was so terrifying. And when I was younger, there, if it was on TV and like two men would kiss, he would kind of make a reaction like, oh, change the channel. And my mom was like completely opposite, raised in like LA from like a couple hippies. Wow. And we both like jumped on him and we're like, what the hell's wrong with you? Watch this, watch this, you gotta watch this. And like we got like so on him and he was like, okay. And like he's come such a far way because of it. But we were like so like double teaming him.
He's on Pornhub now.
Sorry, I didn't mean to like.
No. I mean, what you're saying is so. Yeah, I like relate really hard because, even though they, it turned out that they were very loving and accepting, probably because it was someone that they already loved and knew.
Yeah.
In their child, but that's all I had to go off of because in general in my house, like, we also didn't ever talk about dating or sex at all.
Totally,
like,
I had a very neutered.
Wasn't. Yeah. Not that they
American thing.
Not that they forbade it. Yeah. But it's just like
scary, and like nudity is also like, or like bodies are so sexualized.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Whereas like I remember when I was at Burning Man. anybody?
Whoa!
But there was
like just pop a pill.
Yeah.
We all just watched you pop a pill. I was like, when I was at Burning Man.
But there was like this bathing thing where it's like you get really dirty there because it's like dust everywhere. Other reasons too, but anyways, so gross. I gotta stop making fun of it. So there's like a bathing thing where like you get in line and you have to bathe like three people and one person are bathing them, watching them, and then at the end you end up getting cleaned, you know. And I was like really like really dirty and I was like, oh god, I really want to take a shower. And I'm like waiting in line and I got my underwear and my bra on, you know, and I'm just kind of like like I'm not gonna be that crazy. And then by the time we get to that, like I'm like watching everyone and it's so not sexual. I'm just like scrubbing underneath their arms and you really are like, I know this is gonna feel so good when it's done to me. And it's not, and you say consent, like you're allowed to touch here but not here if you want. And by the time it was my turn, I was like butt naked and I was like, clean me everywhere, like go for it, you know. And it reminded me that like, because when I grew up also, like my dad owned a strip club, so it had like a very strange like setting idea of like how women's bodies should be looked at and how they should be treated, and kind of like a weird attraction tied into being disrespected, which is like weird.
Yes, you know? That's super interesting.
Yeah, and something that I'm like have dealt with and still dealing with. But the nudity thing, I was like, yeah, because like for me, I don't like wearing bras anymore at all. And like sometimes it feels natural to walk around the house with my shirt off. But then it's like, even if I'm just changing, but if my dad's in the house, my mom's even like, Allie, your father's in the room.
Yeah.
And it's like so like terrifying. And I'm like, but what? My little brother walks around practically fucking naked anyways.
Totally.
And I, like those kind of things trip me out that I'm like, that's more about like gender even than just
no,
like,
but
sexuality.
Yeah, that part of you can be like, it's like an illegal body or not allowed.
Naturally, it's going to be sexualized just by being looked at.
Yes.
And so my dad asked me to wear a bra recently when I was wearing like a tank top. He's like, I can see your nipples. I'm like,
you lived
through
too,
the
right?
70s. You saw everyone's nipples. Yeah. Like, what's the problem?
Yes. And I remember when I was like really young, I would always be like shirtless. And then we went to like a water park and I like just wore trunks. And my mom was like so worried about, like, was like, we have to get you a top right now. Yeah. And I like looked exactly like young boy, had like a bowl cut. Like no one would have known. But it was such a like, oh, like in the world, you cannot walk that way.
And that changes your perspective on your own body immediately when you're born female. Like it just sucks.
Yeah.
It really sucks. And then you're trying to like unlock that part of yourself for the rest of time, kind of. Like you're still kind of triggered by it. Like I find when I'm with men versus women, it's still so tied into that with men. There's this still kind of like, oh yeah, take advantage of me. And with women, I'm like, no, I'm actually connecting to a human. I
yes,
care about,
yeah,
like,
totally.
Let's go. Yeah, so it's like I still have this like weird frame.
Or like, yeah, the power dynamics are really interesting with stuff like that too.
Mm-hmm. But I think, I mean, we are hard on our parents all the time for the shit that they, like, failed us at or whatever. But it's also society. Like, I mean, like, even the fact that, like, the word gay was like, oh, that's so gay. You know, like, about shit that was just dumb or something.
And
like,
a lot
of times, sucks, or being a pussy or something, you know. It's just, all that shit.
It's like the perfect, it was just like, sexism was just so rampant, which added to like all of the like homophobia and stuff like that. And then our parents were like, I need to help shield you from that.
I just had like another like memory that I haven't thought about in so long,
because
you just prompted it by saying that. But I call her like my grandma, but she's actually like my mom's aunt. But she was like a grandmotherly figure to me. And I used to love her, love, love, love going to her house. She was awesome. She would like bring us to McDonald's. Like, she was the best.
Hey, the way to any American kid's heart.
Yeah. And then McNuggets. Like, yeah. Girl.
And she gave my parents books to give my brothers and me, like a stack of books. And I remember my dad like going through them, and one of them he was like, oh, no. And he like hid it above on like one of his high shelves,
and you were immediately like,
I'm gonna go find it. Later, like, I go and I jump on the bed, like, I grab it, and it was like a book titled like My Uncle Is Gay, or like My Uncle David Is Gay, something like, it's like a kid's book about like,
teaching
kids about, not that it was, I don't think she even meant anything by it, because years later I asked her, I was like, was this to teach us anything? And she was like, what? No, I like got those books at a garage sale. Like,
then you turned around and she was like,
I don't think she knew what she was
around,
doing.
She was making out with a woman.
But her roommate. It was her roommate.
Yeah, he's got out of the bed.
But I saw that and I was like, okay, I see this. This isn't allowed in the home.
Yes.
My parents didn't want me to see this. Now I know that this is like a immoral thing.
Yeah. This like fearful censorship that's like frantic. Yeah. That's so scary.
And then in college, I took this class called U.S. Lesbian and Gay History, which was the coolest class ever. It was like one of the most popular courses at school. And part of it was interviewing people in your life about their attitudes towards gayness in the times that they grew up, where they grew up, because my parents are both also from Latin America. So like I talked to them about things like that. And while doing so, I asked them, I was like, Dad, do you remember when I was like 5 and, you know, mommy also gave us that one book and you like hit it? And he didn't remember what I was talking about.
Whoa.
Because to him it was like, oh, whatever. I don't want my kids seeing that.
Yeah.
But to me, I was like,
yeah, you read into
it
so much stuff.
Yes. You were like, I have 3 memories having to do with gayness, and that's a third of them. Like,
It was actually, he didn't want your uncle to see the book.
He didn't want me to start calling my uncle gay.
Yeah.
No, I mean, it wasn't even, because there's no gay people in my family aside from me.
Yeah.
And I have one cousin who's queer, and like she and I like bond over it because we're the only ones.
Yeah.
But she's younger than I am. But no one else. So growing up, there was nothing like that.
Yeah. Totally.
So. We had only one uncle. Family.
Really?
Yeah, I'm the single gay.
Good God.
Yeah. I have two cousins on my dad's like Arabic side who came over from Baghdad, got to America, and both were like, we're gay.
And, like, we are gay
partners, and are like, won't, like, she got married, and like, they were like, so like quickly we're just like, yeah, we're both gay. Great.
Yeah.
And they found partners right away, and I was like, that's fucking amazing. And my grandma, who doesn't even speak much English, I was like, oh, so, you know, we met Sarah's wife. Like, she's rad. Like, she came over to Christmas and stuff. She's like, yeah. She's not go to heaven though.
Oh.
You know, and I was like, maybe she will. Like, my beautiful grandma I've loved always, but I was like, you're evil.
Yeah.
But I think she's come around to it in like more ways, but I was like, no hell. You know?
Yeah.
And like, me trying to tell her, I was like, hey, I'm gay. And she's like, no.
Oh my God.
I'm like,
gosh.
Okay. One step at a time with you, grandma.
I had a coworker who was like from El Salvador, and I told her I was gay, and she was so afraid of me for the rest of me being a barista there.
Afraid of you?
Yeah, truly. She was like, no, you're not gay. And I was like, yeah.
Wait, afraid for you or afraid of you?
Truly afraid of.
Like,
drop off the clean dishes and be like, it would always like laugh and like run away. I don't know. Anyway.
She's gay.
Did you think it was contagious?
She's clearly gay. Wake up. We did hook up. No, I'm kidding. I'm totally kidding.
She thought it was contagious.
Yeah. She was like, oh, I don't want to catch it. Yeah. Good fucking God. Okay, today, each episode we talk about something in the gayest sphere. Today I want to talk about gay bars.
Oh, God.
Thoughts?
Boom, 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 boom.
Setting the tone. Gay bars. Do you love them? Do you hate them? Do you go to them?
Depends on the city.
Depends on the. Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah, some cities great gay bars.
Really?
Sometimes they're just the best. Yeah.
Sometimes the gay bar just means it's all dudes in there.
What's a city that like you really do like the gay nightlife there?
I feel like New York seems like an obvious one, but I've always had a really good time in New York gay bars.
Totally.
There's like very many you could choose from, different styles, different like lots of dancing versus just like cute people versus like there's lots
versus
of options.
Just drugs.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I like the options of it. I feel like LA is a little more slim. So when I hear that here, I'm a little like, oof, are we?
Yeah.
The like, ones here
very
are
boy heavy.
Very,
yeah.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Yeah. Very geared towards, and not only towards men, but like a specific.
Yeah.
Kind of man.
Yeah, West Hollywood like style.
Like a,
the ripped ones.
Ripped insta gays.
Yeah. Insta gays. Fun. There was one bar in Austin, one lesbian bar in Austin when I was growing up, and it was called the Rainbow Cattle Company.
Oh, wow.
And it was so
tight.
But it was just like, yeah, it was cool to go there because it was like, you know, the only lesbian bar. It was downtown, but it was just like, butches everywhere.
Really?
And I was like, so cool, man. Like,
oh,
just
my
like,
God. It, okay, that's the point that I was going to make is like now a gay bar is kind of like hit or miss. But when I was first coming out, like living on that razor's edge,
it was like everything.
It was everything. I went to like a super Christian university. I don't know why I did that to myself. So I'm like 22 and still like, I've signed a contract in blood saying I won't have a gay thought. And I like went to a gay bar and just like,
is that where you danced for the first time?
That's when I danced for the first time.
Oh my God.
Holy shit.
And I just looked at the gay bar. I just looked at it. And I listened to Britney Spears Circus
on repeat
to pump myself up as though I was in there. And then I went home because I couldn't do it.
Oh,
I know.
That's so sweet.
I know.
That's cute, man.
I know. And then I went to a lot of gay bars. I went to the Abbey here and just
like,
stood there with a beer like, I'm doing it. I'm doing it.
That's so wholesome.
That was my Rumspringa.
Oh, man.
I don't like the Abbey.
No one does. You get stolen from.
Allie likes it.
Wait, I'm
Greg
allegedly.
O'Brien
allegedly.
Got stolen
the one
from.
That's on like
allegedly.
Sunset and Fountain?
Which one?
The Abbey. It's like the one with like the no-go dancers.
Oh, no. What's the one?
The Abbey's like
Akbar.
Akbar.
Oh, Akbar's
great.
I like
that. Yeah, that's more like a laid-back, like
indie. And then you guys still
got to know or fisting.
Depending on the night.
You have to lay back to get fisted.
If it's fisting Friday. For me, gay bars are tricky because like sometimes I am not in the mood to like actually like go out and party and stuff, but like I have this incredible FOMO that if I don't go to these spaces that I'm somehow like
not gonna
missing
get
out. It's not that. It's like it's like this I don't know, like this part of gayness that like if I'm not a part of it, then what am I? Where am I gonna meet gay people? That's it.
Totally. Sometimes I'm like, well, I'm at least this is for me. I'm like making up for lost time. Like I'm like, there were definitely 5 years where I was like so fucking hot and not touching a single person. Or I was just like so like closeted and scared. And now I'm like, I still gotta get out there. Like it kind of feels like every time you go to a gay bar and you have like a sloppy night, you're like, and this was one of the ones I could have had. Like I'm trying to like remake back up that time.
Yeah.
And then you have to be like, why am I acting this way as like an adult? Like I have work tomorrow. I don't need to
like. There's also, I find more people I'm attracted to not just always at. It's not just like, gotta just go to the gay bar to like find someone. It's more like house parties and things like
that.
Yeah,
that's true.
And like
just
friends,
everywhere.
Everyone's like hanging out together.
Yes.
Yeah, like
or like a ceramics class. It's like so much better to meet people like in the wild, at least for me.
Although ceramics class, I would kind of expect to meet a big old dyke.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, that's a mixer.
Yeah.
Has anyone seen Ghost? Wake up.
Wake up.
Yeah.
I feel like I just thought of something and then forgot it. Tight.
Oh, what was that
tight,
like?
Dude. Tight.
What was the first time you went to a gay bar?
The first time I went to a gay, well, the Rainbow Cattle Company in Austin, but then in New York, I went, I had decided, like, all right, I'm going to be a gay person. And I was in my, I was in rehearsal with my theater company, and I was like, looked around, and I was like, guys, I'm going to a gay bar tonight. It was Coffee Shop, which is closing. And I was like, I'm going. Does anyone want to come with me? And everyone was like, not tonight, man. I got work tomorrow. And I was just like, fuck it. And I went by myself.
Best way to go.
I've gone to bars by myself too.
But it was like, I was nervous, and there were like, you know, hotties and shit. And I was just like, you know, like trying to like sit comfortably and not stare and stuff. And it was just, it was hard, but I had a good time. I don't know.
Have you been to Cubbyhole?
Oh, yeah.
Have I ever?
That was the first one I went to.
Really?
Yeah. What?
Aww. Yeah.
Wow. My friend used to live next door, and she like went out of town and let me stay at her place. I was dating her brother at the time. But then I like went, I was like by myself and like went into Cubby Hall, and I was like very excited and nervous too. I was like, this is a thing.
Really? Oh, that's so cute.
It's a lesbian bar with gay male energy.
Right, yeah. It was like an aggressive vibe.
Yeah.
Which is kind of, very aggro. That's what you're into.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Aggro lesbians.
I used to go out with my friends. When I first moved to LA, like I only knew straight people. So I would go out with straight friends, and right by, there's like an intersection where it's like the Hudson, Laurel Hardware, and Foo Bar are right there on Crescent Heights in Santa Monica. So like they'd go to the straight bars, and then I'd be like, I'm going to pop over. You know, there's a gay bar. Right, I'm just going to pop over. So I'd go by myself.
Yep.
But that bar in particular has a reputation of being like really, really like in your face, like people.
Like porn is playing.
Yeah,
on the TV.
Even straight up like nudity from the go-go dancers, and like sometimes sex acts just happening in the open.
So I
like went in there for the first time, and I was like, is this what the bars are like here?
I accidentally went to a full-on like sex like party in Amsterdam when I first moved there, and I was like, okay, I'm gonna go to a gay bar, like here I am,
this
like
is the
most
culture.
Liberated city. And I went in, and it was just like dark rooms, and there was like a full-on swing.
It's like
and
that
like
Berlin when I went to
there was like
rooms,
lube in like
in
what
pump.
You would get hand sanitizer out of. And I tried to use it, and it was just lube on my hands, and
yeah,
I was like,
that scares me.
All
I'm
right.
into looking a little bit. I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
I got invited to like a sex party with all girls in Paris recently.
Ooh.
And from like my friends, here we go. It sounded crazy. I was like leaving dinner and had too much wine. I was like, am I really going to go to this sex club right now? And my friend who was older, she's like, why not?
Was it
like,
at a private residence?
No, it was at a bar.
Oh.
And
wow.
I was meeting up with friends, like four, you know, women. And so I met up with them, and it wasn't as cool as you thought. It was like weird, like blow up things that you put in the pool. What are those called? Floaties?
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
floaties.
Yeah.
Yeah, like huge floaties, like pinned to the ceiling as if that was the art. They're like, I don't know, put a floatie up there. So you're like walking around and like the condensation. And I was just like wearing sandals and was really like freaked out by it. I was like, I got open toes in here. And it wasn't really my vibe. There was this like one woman who was like walking around with a already used like weird dildo, but you could tell the packaging was open, and she was in French being like, would you like to buy it? Cherchez. And I was like, oh no, I don't want it. I don't want it. But then we went to a bar afterwards that was just like, you know, men, women, whatever, and there was these like amazing like drag queens performing and dancing, and it was just like such a mix of all different kinds of people, and everyone was fucking making out on the dance floor.
Yes.
Like women, men, everything, like, and I was just like, this is my kind of fucking vibe. I was like, you could literally like make eye contact with anyone, and we were like, let's go. Okay. And everyone was like so attractive and like feeling, you know what I mean? I was like, that's my kind of, you know.
There's like a really funny, do you know Louis Theroux, the like
love
documentary?
That guy.
Yeah. He does one about like swingers parties in America.
Oh wow.
And like he follows this like couple who's throwing like a swingers party in their house like in the suburbs, and they go to like Vaughn's and buy like the crudité platter for the party. Like he's like with them the day of.
Yeah.
And I just like, there has to be so much more going on than like just sex advertised for me. I just have never been the type that's like, and I need
mood.
To come. Like, yeah, I'm just like, have so much other stuff going on. I just can't imagine.
It's a pretty thin line for me for when it's like, even with the voyeurism, like there's such a thin line to where I cross over and I'm like, this isn't even, it's not enjoyable.
Yeah.
And I can't, and I go to that point where I'm like, I don't imagine that anyone participating is enjoying it. Like it just, you know, I can't get out of that.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, why am I here? I'm judging it. Like I'm judging myself. Like Berghain was kind of like that for me in Berlin. And I was just like,
yeah, that was one.
I went alone, you know. And
that's a rough one to go alone.
Yeah.
I think
stayed for 3 weeks.
Yeah. I'm still there in a way.
I became a citizen. It's pretty crazy.
I think part of like, I guess everyone's different, but part of like the excitement of like any kind of like, ooh, are we, aren't we, is there like a chase, like are people flirting before they make a move, like that's what's exciting.
Yeah.
So when you go to a place and it's just like, yeah, it's like a sex thing and that's just what's happening as soon as you walk in the door and anything is fair game, and then you're just like, this is weird.
Yes. Yeah.
When you're hetero, that's like every bar. You know what I mean? Yeah. Tutoring, not the lead up part. It's just being like, yeah, we're at a bar to like cruise each other, you know? And I find that so unattractive. But then there has to be like, oh, it's a gay setting. And then it has this like different kind of like amped up thing. And you're like, can it just also be a bar? Like,
yes.
It's also the same kind of thing.
Yeah.
Like, I want to like hear a story and talk to you for a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah.
There was a party in New York. Oh, go ahead.
No, please.
Oh, there was a party in New York that I used to go to. That was just like, I think the thing that undid it, every kind of like, I love going to gay bars for me.
Okay.
Like, it was just because, like, it was this place called The Woods. It's a bar in Williamsburg, but on Wednesday it's, like, lesbian night, which, like, for some reason, Wednesday is, like, universal lesbian night everywhere.
It's Taco Tuesday.
Like, we don't have jobs. Yeah.
Fisting Friday.
Fisting Friday. Yeah. And, yeah, it was just, like, the way that people even, like, they all got dressed up for, you know, lesbian night. Everyone was, like, in their black motorcycle jackets and, like, sleeveless shirts.
It's a good night, though. There are some cute
and, like,
people
beanies
who come out
in
night.
The summer and just, like, sitting on tables, like, you know, kind of shit. And I was just like, this sucks. Like, I actually just came here to hang out with my gay friends.
Yes.
And now I have to feel like I'm cruising or feel like someone is, like, a, you know, like, it's not a conversation, you know?
Yeah.
Me and my friend went there and ended up leaving together, like hooking up together that night, being at that in that vibe. That
because
we were
it was just
like
friends,
just like hanging out.
Nightmare.
In that like, setting at work.
There was just like, that electricity in the air.
Yeah.
It's either you or one of these hoes, so let's go.
Okay, cool. Let's move into the questions that we have from our viewers. These are always so fun. Let's see. Let's kick it right off. This one doesn't have a name attached to it, so we don't know much about them. But the question is, have you ever postponed a coming out process because someone you knew had come out and you didn't want people to think you were copying them? Sounds weird, but over time I've explained this experience to friends and found with many of them that they've done the same thing. I'm wondering about the root of this fear of copying a coming out experience, or if it's maybe not as common as I think.
Shit.
Yeah.
I feel like there's no timing for it. Like, you just gotta do it. Definitely not copying anybody when you're trying to be your authentic self.
Yes.
It's even better to be like, yeah, me too.
Yeah.
Like, I never postponed my coming out for that reason, but I remember a very good friend of mine coming out to me, and that terrified me because then it made me feel like, oh God, does that mean that now I have to come out, or that he knows that I'm gay?
Why are you telling me this?
Because I was like, I suspected it about you. I'm sure you suspected it about me, but I thought we were just gonna never say anything.
Yeah.
So I was like trembling. And then, of course, he was like, why are you, like, shaking? I'm, like, telling you something important. And I was like, I'm so sorry. I don't know why I'm reacting this way. I just need to, like,
you didn't tell him? You weren't like, I'm
I didn't tell him until...
Oh,
no, I couldn't because I wasn't ready.
Yeah, totally.
Then years later, I was like, when I did come out to him, I was like, when you came out to me, that's why I was being so weird. I was just, like, not ready, and it just, like, freaked me out.
Yeah. A spotlight was put on you.
Yeah.
My brother was on this podcast a couple episodes ago, and we talked about this because... I came out to my mom because she called me and was like, I think Brad is gay. And I said, I think I am too. And I just like hopped on
She's
it.
She's like, holy shit.
And I told that story and Brad was like, I didn't know that, because he thought I beat him to the coming out because we went on a road trip and I was like, are you gay? And he was like, yeah. And I was like, well, I am too. And he's like, so you called the shots and made me come out to you. And like, but it's so funny. There is a little bit of rivalry, I guess, in coming out and getting to be the first one to come out. But I also think, like, you just make friends with secretly gay people when you're in the closet. I just feel like you're, like, attracted.
For sure.
So, of course, there might be a time where it's like, wow, all my friends came out. It, like, what does it mean? It's like, you knew what you were looking for in a friend, it feels like.
You found each other for a reason.
Yeah.
I realize my commonality with a lot of my friends is people that were religious.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're like, you know, really controlled people that, oh, yeah, you know, really held it together for a long time. Oh, so they were like, yeah, I want to fuck all those people. Yeah. And that's,
I'm on winter retreat, yeah, in a dog pile of people I would do anything to kiss. Yeah.
That's great imagery.
Yeah. Visual.
Okay. Next cue. As a queer woman, one of my biggest insecurities about coming out was being seen as predatory. Hey.
Hey.
Fear of being excluded from sleepovers or that I appear to be preying on young straight girls. I'm an adult now and I've been out for a while, but it's hard to shake that insecurity. I feel like I'm always trying to come off as non-threatening as possible. Is this something that you've dealt with, and how do you unlearn this negative thinking?
If only we had the answers.
I know, yeah. Do you still feel predatory?
I wouldn't say predatory. For me, sometimes I find myself holding back more when I'd like to, hit on somebody, mm-mm, more. You know what I mean? In a way that I'm like, this is how I'd want, you know. And instead, I just play it like, yeah, we're buddies, aren't we?
Yeah.
You know, we're just cute pals. And then, like, I might tell you I have a crush on you. You know what I mean?
Totally.
Like, it just, like, comes out in such a different way.
Yeah.
Because I'm basing it off of gender norms of, like, a man approaching a woman.
Yeah.
But I'm like, I know how to do it so much better. Anyways, like, not even comparing to how a guy does it, but just, like, sometimes I don't get as confident in, like, just going up to someone like, hey, you're cute as hell, you know, or just, yes, like, how I'd want to.
I feel like it's, like, the, like, what the patriarchy has kind of,
yeah, you're like, I don't want to do the reverse onto them or, exactly, something.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's, like, we're all aware of how shitty it feels to have someone, like, hounding you all night at a bar. Mm-hmm. And I'm, like, I know that I can be the opposite of that. So, yeah, like, I'm kind of, like, hey, I'm just here to be your best friend.
God, you have a lot of energy.
God,
don't
we
you
have so much in common. Want to go watch a movie? It's 11 p.m. And then we just sit there. the first time I went to a girl's house, I just laid down like a pencil dive with my belt on and fell asleep while watching the movie because I was paralyzed by fear.
Yeah. But didn't you say, like, the next day you felt like, wow, nailed it?
Yeah. I felt a lot of accomplishment. Yeah. I slept over at a woman's house. She's a soccer coach. I'm fucking nailing it in the big city.
We hooked up.
I think I do that thing in reverse where, like, when I'm talking to a woman, I will sometimes go out of my way to mention my boyfriend or that I'm
That's
gay.
That's really interesting.
So that she knows, oh, he's gay, okay, cool, there's no, because I don't know, I'm so, like, aware of, like, oh, guys can be so creepy towards women, like, I don't want her to think there's anything like that here.
Yes.
Or, like,
yeah, that's really interesting. Yeah. I feel like maybe it is us distancing ourselves from, like, a toxically masculine,
mm-hmm, yeah, and still trying to make our own,
yeah,
you know, version of it, because, like, God, I've talked about it in therapy, but, like, the reversal of stuff, like how men don't, you know, bad men don't set boundaries when you're sending out cues. They're just like, I know you said no, but I'm going to keep going.
Yeah. Oh, is this the
and
game?
Is, yeah, this, is this what part
you
want?
Yeah, you're just scared.
And then you were trained, like, I guess that's kind of, is this hot? No, this is, I said no. Like, what the fuck is a no? And then so the other way around is, like, not like a girl would say no, I'm just kidding. But I mean, like, but meaning.
I didn't mean it like that. But, you know,
no, I know. Like, that it wouldn't ever get to that scenario. Like, I would just go,
yes,
off of, like, vibes, but I do hold my instincts back. And
yeah,
that bums me out because I'm like, I don't want to be like them.
Yeah.
And it's like, we're not going to be.
Totally.
Our heart's in a different place.
I actually just, whenever I think someone's cute, I have a hard time flirting with them. So if I'm, yeah, really chill with someone, I think they think I'm hitting on them and I couldn't give a shit less.
Yeah, right, yeah.
The reverse.
And then when
so
I'm like,
don't,
hey,
make eye,
what's up?
Yeah,
yeah,
that's,
yeah, when I like actually.
When you're like a full, like, yeah, robot.
Like, what's up?
I just got to
live,
your bombs.
Yeah.
Like air keys right now. Yeah, yeah. I think some of this, too, comes from, maybe you can speak to this, too, the religious background, which does a lot of, like, homosexuality, pedophilia, predatory, like, one big stew.
Yeah, sex,
yeah,
is, like, evil.
Yeah.
No matter what.
I feel like when I came out to a youth pastor of mine, I was at a church camp, and this woman I was, like, talking to beforehand, she was so nice. She was this mom. And she was like, don't tell him till the end of the camp because he'll make you move out of your cabin. Because I was like a counselor, and so it was me with, like, teens,
wow,
that I was, like, helping lead through the week. And she was like, that would be really hard for everyone, like, just wait till the end.
What's so insane too is that the people who are more response are like part of the patriarchy more, like those men should be removed from and they're like, well, he's straight, so he's safer with them than maybe a gay man would be around. But I was like, no, I don't trust this motherfucker.
Chet with the puka shells, leave him with the kids, but wait, you're
his
queer
sexual drives for years, this guy takes whatever he wants, like danger
danger.
I think the problem is that people just assume that because you're a different sex, you know, you have a different sexuality, that you're entire being revolves around like you wanting to have sex.
Yes. Right.
And that's like insane to me, you know. Yes. Like if you hear someone like Robert Mugabe talk about like why he hates gay people, and he like goes into so much detail about what gay men are doing to each other, and it's like, bruh, you're the only person that was thinking about
that
this shit.
Yep.
Like,
yeah,
he's like fully like, and then he bends him over and inserts his hard penis in and out, and then there's like,
you're like, this is erotica.
Just like thinking about lunch. You're thinking about,
I want this.
Yeah, it is crazy, like straight sex talking about like perversion in there. It's like there's so much perverted straight sex. It's fine, but it's like immediately like gay stuff. You're like, ooh, like
I think it's more perverted to like fuck someone you don't want to fuck. Mm-hmm. Like I think it's
you know, which most women have been doing for years.
Yeah.
Whenever there's like recently there were headlines that like a Disney character, it was like the first gay teen couple to ever appear in a Disney Channel show.
Mm. Oh yeah.
And I saw someone from my high school post like, this is wrong. Why is Disney pushing any kind of sexual, this, you know, I'm not a homophobe, but why is Disney putting any sort of sex in their shows? And it's like,
every show's
about boys date girls in every single show and movie.
Absolutely. Yeah.
But in their minds, that's not sexual.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
But when it's two men or two women or what have you, it's like,
just sexual, yeah.
Why are you pushing forward your kink
onto
our kids? Totally,
yes. It's so treated dark. As a kink. Yes, that is like the perfect
it's
word
just
for it.
Mm-hmm. A social relationship, like
it's like, oh, I'm sorry, were the two kids like hardcore fucking on this Disney Channel show, or were they like holding hands? Like, what are you talking about their sexuality?
I think it's just like one. I think one just told the other one that he like had a crush on. It was like so innocuous.
And just to take it to another, you know, level, like both of those actors are probably straight.
Yeah, so, yeah. Right, so yeah. Honestly, like, let's talk about like,
crazy women.
One is bi. He came out on Twitter and he's become very vocal and.
Oh, that's good.
Cool.
Very that's good. Cute.
There he goes.
I will say, yeah, let's talk about that, bitch. As a queer person who plays queer,
mm-hmm.
Do you go out more for queer roles or straight roles?
Yeah, I mean, pretty much. I actually am at the point where I just wish that like the first two words in a descriptor weren't Latin queer. You know, like I just like, okay, yeah. What else? Like, do they have a job?
Yeah.
Do they have interests? You know.
They're like, yeah, she's Latin and queer. It's a
full time.
Well, it's just under 40 hours, so you don't get.
Did
insurance.
I mention she'll wear a motorcycle jacket?
I don't necessarily like, hate when straight people play gay people entirely, but I'm just like, now that there's such a well of you know talent everywhere, like you just weren't trying sometimes, you know, and then you hear about those actors that are just like. You know, there was this Broadway show and there was this actor who was on her playing a lesbian and she made it really clear that she didn't want her castmate. Like, it was only a peck and that was it for her. Like, she couldn't.
Wow.
Anything else was, like, not okay. You know, and then, like, after the show, people were like, oh, my God, I've never seen someone gay on stage before. It means so much. And, like, crying to her and she'd be like, oh, my God, thank you. And it's like,
take it.
Fuck you.
That's no.
Yeah, like, that kind of shit really sucks.
Yes.
You know, but.
Yeah. What was like the first like media with queer people in it that you guys watched or liked or like finally saw yourself in? Maybe not even necessarily.
I mean,
queer.
I thought Serena Alchul was gay, so I like loved MTV News.
Oh, no way.
But then she's like not gay.
No, she's not.
No.
No, she's not.
Walter Mercado, the psychic. Anyone?
He's come up on the show before. Yeah. He's come up on the show before.
Yeah. And you thought.
I mean, he's the gay. He is truly like trans or something like it.
Very
just
flamboyant.
No. He's, no it's way. Like. Very flamboyant.
I never saw
like,
this growing up.
Like leader.
It was
flamboyant.
Like on the Latin. It would come on
Univision.
After the news. Yeah, Univision.
It's a psychic that comes on.
Oh my God, funny.
It's like part of the news. It was a psychic. I don't know why.
And he would like so Latin America.
He would like do this thing too. He'd be like Sagittarius to one camera and then be like, feces to another one. No, it was just so tight.
Feces.
He had an estate feces of all his shit because he moved from Miami to New York.
Oh. Yeah. Did he pass away?
No, no. He's alive. He just moved.
He's here actually now. Brad Springer!
He came in all the way from Mexico.
I save it for the very end, baby. What was some of the media, you guys?
I wish I knew.
Honestly, yeah, there wasn't a lot.
No.
It was always, it was much more like just personal stuff, not media things. Almost like once I met someone who was like the first lesbian I met being like, oh, she seems really cool.
Yeah.
Oh, I want to make out with her really badly. But yeah, honestly, there wasn't a lot of... I mean, I love Xena, the Warrior Princess.
Oh, God.
Oh, yeah.
I was obsessed with Xena, and I was just like, she's so badass. I want to be here. I want to touch her.
I want to be there for her.
Yeah, I want to be there for her, for sure.
Yeah, you would be the one protecting Xena.
Yeah, I just wanted to be the one. She's like, finally, I can relax a little bit. I'm like, I got you.
I don't remember... maybe there is something that I'm just blanking on. I don't remember there being any gay representation that I identified with. But I would often find myself identifying with women characters and things, or in video games, I would pick the girl.
Same, only me with the male. Yeah, I was just I get him.
Even or if it was design your own character, and I'd make somebody really cute, and I'd be like, I'm gonna name her Janine, and it's we're trying to race. Why are you spending so much time?
I
would go out of my way to pick the female character in the pink car. And stuff.
Really?
Yeah.
To overcompensate?
Yeah. Sumina, man.
Really?
That's my character. Yep.
Sumina.
Sumina? We had someone mention the play that you were in, the musical.
Fun Home?
Fun Home. As the Ring of Keys or something that. That was their big moment.
Yeah, that was a cool thing too. That's a song in the show, and it's kind of, not that I ever forgot it, but I hadn't really thought of it. And then I remembered in rehearsal one day, one of the first times I saw a gay person in real life, I was in this grocery store in Houston, and I just moved to the States, and it was, I was with my mom, and I looked up, and this woman walked in and was a butch ass lesbian with cargo pants and the actual Ring of Keys and with the dolly to push whatever, and a polo shirt and just this haircut, and I was just oh my God, yeah, she's totally so strong. I just was freaking out. And then my mom noticed, and she was like, don't look at her.
That comment that stays with you for the next 10 years.
She said, that person belongs in a carnival. And I was just like,
no.
Oh, okay. And then I was whenever I would see gay people, I'd be they belong in a carnival. Carnivals are tight, but they do belong in a carnival.
God fuck. Damn. Yeah.
You're
opening up your own carnival, aren't you?
Yeah. In a circus. Is
freak show.
Circus.
A bearded...
To somebody that you watched.
But because they want attention. The carnival. Basically, she was just saying they're freaks and they want attention.
Yeah. God damn. The first time I saw lesbians, I was at Disneyland and on a Girl Scout trip, and the two women in front of me started making out, and I was like, oh my God, those two moms are kissing. I didn't even know that was an option. I was just like, whoa. They each have their own full family. And they met up and they're here kissing. I got put on the ride with them. I recently remembered this. It was the fucking log ride where we're all straddling.
Were you in the photo with them?
No, I wish. I wish I had it. They were holding each other, and I was just really thinking.
Maybe Disney archives all the photos. You should
call
them.
I would do anything to get that photo.
You're just in the back
all right, let's do one last little question and then
pick
your fave. Holding this.
Let me pick my fave.
put this down.
You're
even holding on to that skull. It's comforting.
Yeah, you've been really holding it a little
comforting. She comes from the theater.
I do love my mom. I just want to say.
Well, actually, you know what? I was just talking about this. It's I have so many things locked and loaded that I'm like, this is what I'm going to change for my kids. That stops with my generation. It's different now. But it's my mom definitely had that too.
We're going to
probably executed
all
of it.
They each are doing their best.
I'm sure she had her laundry list and, some of the stuff wasn't on it. Yeah. But who knows what stopped with her? I'm sure a bunch of shit. A
bunch of shit.
Yeah. We're going
to
be...
It's good to heal a little bit with that kind of stuff.
Exactly.
To be they're doing their best. They've come a long way. And I'll keep it
going. Each generation makes a little improvement. And it's thank you. And now, I'll do my thing.
we'll be naive in ways that we don't.
I'm positive.
Oh, God, yeah.
Yeah. Can't wait for my kids to have a podcast.
No, I'll be cool.
Yeah.
I'm avoiding all that. Just not having kids.
Yeah.
Oh, great. Yeah, yeah. Perfect. My kids will make a podcast about you.
Great.
All right, final question. I have always struggled to identify myself and my sexuality. Personally, I'm comfortable not having the perfect label and enjoy giving myself space to have a more complicated experience than lesbian or bisexual or even queer denotes. However, when it comes to coming out to other people, I feel uncomfortable not having a nice, concise word that they can apply to me. I hate having to choose between applying a label that doesn't really fit or having to give a detailed explanation of my romantic and sexual preferences. Does anyone struggle with this issue, and or do y'all have any suggestions for how to make these conversations a bit easier? This is from Catherine. They are they them.
Yeah, this is tricky. It is kind of funny when it's not in a necessarily a safe surrounding or a place where you're there to talk about it, but that it's like, so what are you?
Yeah.
You know, and you're like, in what context?
Yeah.
What do you want to know? You know, who do you have sex with? What kind of genitalia do you have?
Yeah.
How do you like to dress? What's your identity? You know, and you're just like, that's a lot.
Yeah. Those are really personal questions.
Can I order a drink first?
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, it's a lot sometimes. Yeah, I don't know.
The waiters are always doing that to me.
Yeah. Like, before I say the specials, what are you?
Hey, ladies.
I feel like I know a lot of people who just say queer. Oh, my God. Hey, ladies.
Hey, ladies.
For the rest
don't
of my life.
Don't call me sweetheart
life.
The other
hey,
day.
Hey, ladies.
I, like, got whatever was like some like valet card. He's like, here you go, sweetheart. And I was like, thank you. I'm not a sweetheart.
Yeah. I'm actually a huge bitch.
Yeah. So.
I'm actually a huge bitch. Yeah. I feel like I do just use queer because I'm tired, but there's probably something more in there.
I think the question even said, like, queer itself doesn't even feel right to them.
Yeah.
So, that's tricky.
That is tricky.
Maybe there's like a fun way to like say something like don't worry about it or like
right
like, almost like I it's complicated, we don't have to
I don't know
what
answer
that
personal questions
I guess yeah
I lots
guess
of things I don't know
it is crazy to think that you could just boil yourself down to one word, so I guess that's the whole point. It is mm-hmm. very reductive to be like I'm bi and that's everything about me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
because you wouldn't be able to do that with anything else. It's like maybe over the series of a bunch of conversations, we'll get to know mm-hmm. who I
yeah,
am.
Yeah, like, why don't we just keep hanging out, and eventually you won't even be asking yourself those questions about me.
Yeah, totally. Mm-hmm. Huh.
Yeah, I mean, that's tough. But we're also in this tricky, I think, age where people are overly defining themselves.
Yeah.
And then insisting that they can't be defined. So it's, you know, it's tricky to kind of
yeah.
find a balance between, like, does it fucking matter? And, like, I do want to be specific.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah, I've been doing this thing recently where I go to, it sounds crazy, but I go to hospitals, I talk to the doctor. I didn't choose to do this. They asked me to do it. But I talk to the doctors about being non-binary, and they bring in, like, the different parts of the hospital to like ask questions and like actually meet a non-binary person, and everybody in there is so afraid of misgendering someone now because they're like it's such a big deal, and like
yeah
the it feels like the pressure is like so high to get it right.
Yeah.
But it's also like pretty easy to do. There are like three yeah. pronouns to choose from as of now, like put it
no,
in the person's file. Yeah, I mean, it's true. Yeah, yeah.
Or you mean, like, in terms of, like, the medical staff?
Yeah, yeah. Okay. I'm just kind of, like, as a non-binary option. And
yeah.
Yeah, yeah. People go by other pronouns for sure. Yeah. And there, someone was talking about a producer who will write the pronouns that they're feeling that day mm-hmm. on a whiteboard every day of a production.
I worked on a set that had it all on the call sheet, which I was like, oh, that's pretty great. Like, it was really simple.
So
next
cool.
to all the cast and then on set, people had name tags too that
love it.
Had one circled and stuff.
Yeah,
and
I feel like we won't need. We're just in such a learning wave right now that
yeah.
it's like we've built all these tools, and I don't look down on them. I'm not like that's like ugh, fucking too much. It's like we only need
yeah.
these for a little while until it becomes
right.
like second nature.
But it is nice too if you're like meeting somebody new that isn't necessarily like for them, like people not that not being the first thing you have to answer.
Yeah,
it's like you're just a person I'm here to get to know, like
yeah,
we're just
totally.
Hanging out.
Yeah, yeah, totally.
Yeah. As we
yeah,
get more personal we might talk
funny.
About it. Yeah,
yeah, like with a question like this where it's like I feel like I have to define myself, it's like just say something, say a book that you're liking right now.
Yeah.
Like talk
right,
about
yeah.
something else that isn't such a reductive like label.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Wow, we've really reached the end of our episode. Can you guys believe it?
Wow.
Can you believe it?
Go for
it. Do you guys have anything that you'd like to plug, works that you've done that this is sometimes we give out book recommendations, so none of this has to be like super current. Or places that you can be found should people wish to find you and you wish to be found.
Hmm. I don't wish to be found.
I think people should watch Vida.
Yeah.
Vida, it's a, yes.
Vida's a really, really fucking queer show. Yeah. With a bunch of brown people, which is something that isn't normal on TV.
Yeah, yet. Totally.
Yet.
It's in its third season?
We're about to start the third season.
Yeah, cool. So two full seasons are out there on Stars.
On Stars.
Nailed it.
Estrellas.
Estrellas. Sí.
Muy bueno.
Dan las estrellas. I like the idea of book recommendations, but now I'm like, God, what the hell am I reading? Let's just all watch me think about proving the fact that I read books.
Which book?
White Fang.
I will say I read a book that is so good but fucking heartbreaking, and it's about that I'm gonna fuck up his name, it's so Russian, David Wonderovich. Anyone? The artist? There's a book about him called Fire in the Belly. He was like a big artist around when like AIDS broke out in New York City. Really, really interesting artist, and a lot of his stuff was just kind of like block texts of like gorgeous, politically charged, like poetry about like the government forsaking people with HIV during that time. So it's a really powerful book. I would read it. It's so big, so you'll look really cool, really smart.
I remember my book.
Okay, what is it?
Iris Murdoch. Mm-hmm. She's like British lady. I think it's funny too when like writers from the past, they're with women especially, they're like, and she slept with women. Isn't that crazy? You know, yeah. Like they're like, this yeah, yeah. She slept with men and she slept with women.
That was their Trump.
She was a groundbreaker. Yeah, that was their, like, she was wild. And I was like, all right. But she's a really, yeah, great writer. I like to read diaries of people.
Oh, that's my favorite really cool.
format. So, like, Susan Sontag or different, like, I like to see how they would write daily.
Yes.
And so there's, like, diaries of hers that are really fascinating, too. That's
Susan Sontag, so cool. January 12th. Yeah. I think this. January 13th. That was wrong.
That was wrong. Yeah,
totally. I think something else now. Yeah. And I'm not gay.
Yeah. I'm completely
gay. Yeah, but I'm gay. I'm not. Gay. Yeah. We're not going to talk about it.
Yeah.
January 14th. Okay, I had a question on the way here. I was thinking about how I read The Price of Salt, which is the book that became Carol the movie.
Yes.
Mm. In the movie, was she still... Because in the book, she like works at a theater. Did she do that in the movie?
She works at like Sears or something like that.
Right, she worked at Sears when she met her and she left the glove or whatever. But there was a time after, I guess, she like broke up.
She was like a ticket taker or something?
No, she like worked, she like built stuff. She was like a set designer.
Rudy or like Mara costumer trying to build or something. Stuff? Come on.
Yeah.
She's like, I got it.
Yeah. I got it.
She's so fragile.
But I was like, that's such a gay ass thing to do.
Yes.
Like when you're building a junior sets. High yeah. and you're building sets or working the light grid, you're probably gay.
Yeah. Wake up.
Well,
yeah.
even if you're performing on stage.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Everyone in that department yeah. honey, are your allies.
Gay,
go
gays,
there
yeah.
today.
Yeah. Run for the theater.
I never read The Price of Salt. Would you recommend?
Yeah, it's pretty, yeah, it's like a lot of, like, are they gonna fuck?
Yeah.
But,
AKA
it's pretty
the
good.
First two-thirds of my life.
Yeah.
yeah. yeah. I've only been fucking for a third of my life. Wake up, people.
oh, my God, same.
My mom does listen to this podcast. Hello, Crystal.
Your mom's name is Crystal?
Yeah.
Such a young person.
I know! C-R-I-S-T-A-L.
Oh, cute.
Crystal. Crystal. Like, Crystal. Like, the drink, though.
We call her DJ Crystal.
Sure, like that yeah. drink, though.
Yeah.
Like that drink, though.
Yeah, well, you know what? Any last-minute book recs get in under the wire?
I have no book recs.
Not queer ones at the moment, but, you
also
know.
Read A Little Life, by the way.
You finished it?
Mm.
Did
it's
you?
So good.
Yeah. Somebody told you about it on this show,
yes,
is that right?
Yes, they did.
Yeah. I've heard mixed things. Did you like it?
I liked it a lot.
Okay.
Yeah. It's very New York, I would say, which could get a little bit hard to read, but it was good.
Yeah, New York.
Oh, God. Fuck
put that apple box on New York
fuck
already.
New York. Yeah. Get it out of here, Chicago.
Inside jokes.
Is the cubbyhole in it? Or what is it? Is that the part you said before?
I don't think so.
Is Ruby Fruit in it? Ruby Fruit was in a lesbian bar of Days Gone By.
It's all dudes in this book.
Okay, so no.
Ish. Yeah. Anyway, that's the last of our recommendations. Thank you, everybody, for listening. I hope you have a great week. And please send us your questions. We take them on the Discord server, or you can send them through the Instagram. Honey, you can email them. What's the email address? No, don't email.
There's no email.
All right, I'm getting a hard veto from our producer. Do not email me anything. thank you so much, and talk to you next time.
Bye.
Bye.
This has been a Dropout podcast. For video of today's show, plus more exclusive series, go to dropout.tv.